take your Bible this evening and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The sermon tonight is called Ways to Overcome the Wicked One. Ways to Overcome the Wicked One. 1 John chapter 2. Then I want you to find verse number 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. Then stand with me, if you will, real quick. The sermon will not be lengthy tonight. I'll try to get this out of here as quickly as I can. I know we're going to have a few minutes of a business meeting, and I will respect that. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 11, it says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Notice there, it said that you have overcome the wicked one. Now, that's what I want for all of us. I think we need to overcome the wicked one. Let me say a quick prayer. Father, bless us. Still the young people, many of them, they don't know better. Help them to learn. Help all of us to be able to concentrate on the simple sermon this evening, especially me, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Bible here is telling us that we ought to overcome the wicked one. Somebody is being complimented for doing so. I want to tell you, growing up, my dad was a boxer. Lived in the state of Ohio for some time and boxed heavyweight golden gloves. And so me and my brothers were taught to put boxing gloves on and to box when I was very, very young. I'll never forget. One of my younger brothers was bigger than me, and he could hit hard. And so if we boxed, he'd come at me, and I did what we called, I would cover up. What that means is I'd get my gloves up like this so he couldn't punch me in the face. Now, he'd hit me in the back of the head all he wanted because the back of my head's pretty thick. But you'd cover up, and I'd pull my elbows in so he couldn't hit me in the center section. And you know, if he wanted to hit my arms or my back or my head, I was fine. And so what I would do is I would cover up. So my brother, he'd be punching and punching and punching, and I'd cover up. And my dad would stop the fight, and he would say this. He said, "You're not a punching bag, Jeff. Fight back." So my brother would come at me, and I'd cover up because I didn't want to get hit. Now, with that in mind, I've got to tell you, there are some Christians that tend, when the devil comes at them, they cover up. Can I tell you something, Christian? My dad would tell you, you're not a punching bag. There are some things that you and I can do to help ourselves. Now, my dad taught me this. He said, "Son, if you're ever boxing," he said, "there are some guys that they're punchers, they're hitters." And what he taught me is there are some guys, they'll come at you and they'll punch and they'll punch and they'll punch and they'll punch, and you cover up and they'll punch and they'll punch. He said, some of them, they'll just blow all their energy punching you while you're covered up, and then they'll get tired. Raise up, knock them out, and it'll be over. Because now they're tired, so they drop their guard and they're tired. And that is a technique that a boxer will use. They'll let the other guy wear himself out. Here's the only problem. The devil won't get wore out. So if all you do is cover up, if all you do is pull in to cover yourself, he's going to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you. He's not planning on stopping. And as far as he is concerned toward the human race, he's not running out of energy. Now, one of these days, he's going to get knocked out. But it's not going to be me or you that do it. It's going to be Jesus Christ. And then he won't even have to throw a punch. He'll just speak the word. And the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. It's all going to be taken care of. Now, let me tell you this. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, it uses these words. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." That is virtually a boxing comparison. You say, what does that mean? There's some people, they're always punching in the air. They're just always punching in the air. Okay, but listen, you can punch the air all you want. That doesn't make you a good fighter. every once in a while, it'd be a good idea to land a blow.
Yes.
I remember this kid in high school, and I went to the public school. Every once in a while, there was a fuss or a fight, and we had this one kid. Every time he thought he was going to get in a fight, he was jabbing and boxing everywhere, and everybody's watching. He never landed one single punch. To me, it looked like he was doing a dance step and a dance class, because he would swing and punch and swing and punch and blow smoke and everything. And I was thinking, won't you stop that, stand still and fight? What are you doing? But he would punch, but he wouldn't hit anything. Now listen, God said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, God's saying, look, Christian, if you're going to take a shot at the devil, it'd be a good idea to hit.
Amen.
And Dad would say, son, you're not a punching bag. Now, there's nothing wrong with covering up some, but you don't win fights by covering up. And if you say, well, I'm going to win the fight by wearing him down, you won't wear the devil down. He has a strength that is beyond our understanding. Now, the Bible talks about us overcoming the wicked one. I don't want you just to be a punching bag. I don't want to just be a punching bag. Listen to this. I love this verse. The Bible says in Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I could bruise Satan. That doesn't mean you necessarily knock him out. But you could throw a punch here and there. Satan can be bruised by God under our feet. Our feet can be a tool, if you will. And so you know, you can throw a pretty good punch with your foot. Matter of fact, there's more muscles in your legs than there are in your arms. And your legs are longer than your arms. And but, let's face it, Satan opposes us. He likes to attack us. He is our enemy. He hates us. Now, ultimately, he hates God. So he comes after us to get at God. But I want us to overcome the wicked one. Look, when you love people, when you love your congregation like I love my church, I dead sure don't want to see you be a punching bag. Well, that's not right. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give you a couple quick points about overcoming the wicked one. Now, it might not be battle like you think. I'm not recommending bazookas or nunchucks this evening. I'm going to show you a couple things that you can do so that you can overcome Satan. For instance, you can overcome the wicked one by learning to forgive those that hurt you. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says this, to whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, if you're listening, it's said there that Satan was trying to get an advantage of us. What's that mean? Satan's trying to punch us. Satan's trying to hurt us. You know what he said? The context there was forgiveness. So, lest Satan get an advantage of us, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. The verse right before was teaching, you need to learn how to forgive, or Satan's going to knock the snot out of you. Say, how is that? A lack of forgiveness in your life sets you up to where Satan can get an advantage on you.
Right.
You say, how? If you don't forgive, Satan has a way of hitting you with a thing called bitterness.
Right.
And that soils your attitude and it soils your spirit. You say, I want to fight back. Well, you're not going to go throw physical punches at the devil. You say, how can I fight back? Forgive. You stand a chance of bruising smutty face with the punch. See, you and I, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. That spiritual warfare is fought with spiritual means. So you say, forgiving is a part of the battle? Yes, I believe so. We can keep Satan from getting an advantage on us by learning how to forgive. You've got to fight back. Now, let me tell you, I've been around a lot of pastors, Pastors who don't forgive end up out of the ministry. They do. Why? Satan will beat the snot out of them. They will emotionally corrupt because they don't forgive. Let me say to everybody, if you don't learn how to forgive, Satan will beat you up. You'll end up being a punching bag. You say, wait a minute. If I don't forgive, doesn't that hurt the person that I'm not forgiving? Not for sure. You might think that. But look, if I hurt you and you won't forgive me, I may go home and sleep fine tonight. But if I hurt you and you won't forgive me, you're the one that could toss and turn. You're the one that your spirit is uncomfortable. So you need to learn to forgive. I think people that don't forgive, they're turning themselves almost into a punching bag. They don't realize it, but the devil will emotionally, he can beat them to a pulp. So you overcome the wicked one by forgiving those that hurt you or offend you. Listen to the verse. It says, lest Satan should get advantage of us. What was it talking about? Forgiveness. Let me give you another thought. We can overcome the wicked one when husbands and wives come together. They come together. Let me read a verse to you. I'll make some explanation to the mature Christian. I think you'll read between the lines tonight, but listen to this. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says this, defraud ye not one the other, this is talking about a husband and wife, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Satan is trying to hurt a husband and wife in this situation. Satan is tempting you. In other words, he's trying you. He's trying to hurt you. He's trying to throw punches at you. Well, what was the answer? It says, defraud you not. What's that talking about? It's talking about a husband and wife coming together so that the devil can't beat them up and beat their marriage up. I think you can fight Satan for the cause of your marriage. I think the devil sometimes attacks marriages and it's almost like they just cover up. And he's waylaying on that marriage and they're not doing anything to help it. You say, well, what does that mean? When it says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, it's talking about there are some times when a husband and wife may spend some time apart. I'll explain it a little more carefully in a moment. But he said that that happens some, but he is saying, don't pull away from each other, pull into each other. For instance, husbands and wives, let me tell you something. Satan is going to attack your marriage. He hates the family. He wants to destroy your marriage. That's it. That's what he wants to do. Now, if I can hinder Satan from beating on me, here it says, don't defraud, don't cheat yourself out of the time that you need to defend your marriage. You say, how do we do that? You need to have time to talk to one another. Pull in to one another. Have time to talk with one another. I believe that every married couple, no matter how young or how old, you should date. I think there should be times when you go out on a date together. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. What is that? That's pulling together. That's pulling together. Remember, he said that you should not separate. He said, now there are times you might separate to fast and pray, but you got to stay close to one another. Why? That's one of your lines of defense, because the devil wants to beat up your marriage. So you need time to talk. You need dating time. And what this passage of Scripture is primarily teaching is that husbands and wives need to make sure that they're being together for their physical relationship. You say, why? Because if you're not, Satan can enter and beat your marriage up with temptation. So you don't have to let him beat up your marriage. Don't pull away from each other. Pull into each other. Get that time to talk. Get that dating time. Get some spiritual time together. Don't reject one another's physical advances. If you're married, you need to be together. If you're not married, you need to keep your hands off of each other. But
Satan wants to destroy your marriage. But we don't have to be a punching bag. We can do something about that. Don't let him destroy your marriage. Get out there and date. Get out there and be happy. Take time to talk. Talk through your issues. Don't let Satan destroy your marriage. So, we can overcome the wicked one by being forgiving. We can overcome the wicked one by protecting our marriages. By not pulling apart, but moving together. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Because you're supposed to be one flesh with your partner. Let me go on. You can overcome the wicked one by controlling your temper. Or apologizing when you don't. Let me say it again. You can overcome the wicked one by controlling your temper or apologizing when you don't. Listen, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, "Be ye angry, men sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." You see, God is saying the devil wants to beat you up in regard to your temper. He wants to beat you up in regard to that fiery, passionate emotion of anger. So, he said, don't give place to the devil. Don't let him beat you up. Don't become the devil's punching bag. So, I'm not to give place to the devil. Now, notice what it said. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So, listen to the wording. Be ye angry and sin not. So, God is telling you, there's a right way to be angry, but if you're angry, then you need to make sure that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, don't let Satan get a stronghold in your life. Don't give place to the devil. If you've got a temper problem, you need to get it under control. Can I tell you how many people mess up their spiritual lives, mess up their marriages, mess up their children, mess up their ministries? Because they can't control their tempers. The devil would like to beat you up. And you've got to fight back. You say, how am I going to do it? You got to get that thing under control. Then, so control your anger. When you don't control your anger, the devil's waylaying you. He is winning and you're losing. Now, here it said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, you say, Pastor, I am trying to control my temper. I lost it again. Well, God is saying here then, what you need to do, if you lose your temper, make sure before the sun goes down, you get things right. You get things right. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means you get it straightened out. I don't think husband and wife ought to go to bed mad with each other. You will destroy your physical relationship that way. That means if you got to stay up until midnight and fix it so you can kiss and make up and then go to sleep, you need to. Well, I think parents ought to get right with children and children ought to get right with parents. I think if you lose it with your brother in Christ, before the sun goes down, get it fixed. Why? You don't need that thing to fester overnight. God said, get your anger under control so the devil doesn't get to beat you up. But if you slip, you get it right. You know what that means? Apologize. Admit you were wrong. You might not have been wrong about what you said, but you were wrong how you said it, when you said it, and how many times you said the same thing with the same raunchy, nasty, bad, hateful, critical, rude, unspiritual attitude. So what do? Confess it. To who? Well, the person you hurt. And might not be a bad idea to anybody that heard you act like that. And of course to God. But when you and I don't control our tempers, we're letting Satan attack us. But if we do lose it, then we need to learn to apologize because God said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So he said, so you don't give place to the devil. So remember, I said this, you can overcome the wicked one by forgiving the people that hurt you. I said number two, you can overcome the wicked one by husbands and wives coming together. Defraud you not one the other. is saying you get together, spend time together, love each other, talk, work through things. Thirdly, overcome the wicked one by controlling your temper or apologizing, getting it fixed before the sun goes down on the mess you've created. Then, number four, you can overcome the wicked one by being a serious-minded Christian. You can overcome the wicked one by being a serious-minded Christian. Let me read a scripture to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil," there's a guy that wants to beat us up, "as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now, here the Bible says the devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Notice it said, be sober. Now, the word sober there, it actually comes from a Greek word, nepho. It means having a clear mind. So you need to have a clarity of mind in your life if you want to keep the devil from destroying you like a lion would on a lamb that it's chasing after to eat. You say, what do you think it means there by having a clear mind, a sober mind? Well, look, okay, the word sober there is not talking about intoxicating beverage. Although you drink liquor, you don't have a clear mind. And that's one of the reasons God would tell you to stay away from it. But that word sober there, it's talking about the clarity of a mind. It's talking about your thinking right. And that doesn't mean you're thinking right in your opinion, but you thinking right in God's opinion. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That word there, sober, really doesn't have anything about alcohol to, it doesn't really have anything to do with alcohol, although there is a secondary meaning. You need that clarity of mind when you make your decisions. But let me ask you this. So I say to you, you are going to be put into a lion's den. And you're going to need to fight a lion. You're going to need to outwit a lion. Would you like to get drunk before you go in? No. You're going to want to be at your best, right? Absolutely you are. Be pretty stupid to let your mind to where you're not sharp and quick. And liquor will make you stupid. It'll make you take chances you wouldn't have taken. It'll make you confident when you shouldn't be. You'll be falling all over the place. Now the lion, when he sees you tip up the bottle, he's saying, "Great, another idiot." Makes him easier to eat. That's not really what this is talking about, though. It's talking about your mind being serious. You have a clear spiritual mind. And if you don't want to be a punching bag, you need a sober mind. Why? So you can fight back. Now, what are you talking about? Every decision you make, you should make sure it's a decision that God would have you to make. So, well, how am I going to know that? Well, you either get counsel or you go to the Bible. I've watched some people make some decisions they thought were good decisions, but they were really dumb. But in their opinion, but can I tell you something, folks? Our opinion will get us in trouble. We better figure out what God wants. If you have a decision coming upon you, if I were you, I would work at clearing your mind of the world and think God's way. Think before you act. And for some, it's very hard to do because you're so impetuous. You're in such a hurry and you are so proud and so confident that you know exactly what to do, exactly when to do it, exactly how to do it. So you're just going to go ahead and do it. You'll create a mess for yourself. Patience is a virtue. Something comes at you. Some of you need to say, "I need to think about this." Why? So you are sober-minded, thinking spiritually clear when you make the decision. That way, the devil can't beat the snot out of you. For some of you, we could get your life to calm down if you would become sober-minded. What's that mean? Think before you act. Borrow the mind of God to make your decision. That's why it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So, I don't have to be a punching bag. I can fight back. I could bruise Satan. I could be an overcomer. I could do that by learning how to forgive. So Satan can't beat me up emotionally for with bitterness and hatred and revenge. I could overcome Satan if me and my wife or you and your wife will make sure you stay close together so the devil can't destroy your marriage. We can overcome the wicked one by controlling our tempers, and when we don't, we get it right immediately, and we don't let that hatred and that harshness linger. We can overcome Satan. How? By being serious-minded as Christians, so when the devil's out to eat us, we are thinking before we act. We're not drunk on our own vain impression of the strength of our mind, but we're making decisions God's way, not our way. That protects you from Satan. Matter of fact, it doesn't just protect you. It makes you take a punch at him. Now, you may not knock him out, but you could bruise him. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. If you want to overcome the wicked one, be on guard for false preaching and teaching and churches. Be on guard. Let me read something to you and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, it says this. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now here, Satan has ministers that are transformed into angels of light. Now look, let's face it, if Satan is a great deceiver, I'm going to guess the guys that are his ministers are big deceivers too. So what's he telling us? You had better be careful to know not everything that is religious is of God. See, there are a lot of people that you're very sincere and kind, and you look at everything that talks about God, and you think, isn't this great? Everybody just loves God. Everybody doesn't love God. You say, good God, good devil. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You know who crucified Jesus? Religious people. Folks, there are false preachers, and they're everywhere. There are false churches. Everything that calls itself a church is not. If you don't want to be beat up, some of you are going to have to stop being so religiously gullible. Satan will beat you up if you don't wisen up to the truth that I'm telling you right now. We hate to accept it, but it is so. Just because someone talks about Jesus or God, that does not make them right with Jesus or God. You say, how do we know if they're right? It's according to the Bible. You say, but I like them. Okay, go ahead and like them. But whether or not they're right is based on the Bible, not their personality. Matter of fact, some of the people teaching the worst doctrines have the finest personalities. And they are very charismatic in their presentation. You see, he's such a nice guy. I would rather have a bland personality and be right with the Bible than drip a personality and not teach the truth of the Bible any day of the week. And you say, well, good pastor, you do have a bland personality. Okay, that's fine. But I'm just here to tell you that he warns us here, Satan transforms himself into angels of light. His ministers do the same. They look good on the surface. They talk religious. They talk churchy. They have some good things to say, but underneath, they're not the real deal. You'll find some of the people that promote other versions of the Bible are some of the kindest and sweetest people you've ever met. But you're a heretic if you use false Bibles.
Come on.
Say, Pastor, the boldness. I'm not bold. I just know what the Bible says. That's all I'm doing. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So, now that doesn't mean if someone's a heretic, I don't have to be mean to them. I don't have to throw rocks at them. But I should not be letting them teach me or my family, and I should separate myself spiritually from them. So you can overcome the wicked one by just being on guard with false preachers, churches, and ministries. So, God tells us, watch out. My dad was a very down-to-earth guy. My brother could hit hard. And it took a while. Because when I'd get in, we didn't have boxing ring. We moved the coffee table and a couple lamps. Mom would go in the other room and we'd get the gloves out. And boy, my brother would come at me and I just wanted to cover up. I wonder how many times, Brother Pine, my dad said, "Son! You're not a punching bag. Stand up and fight back." I'd hear him say that. But you know, I found out. If I would fight back, I could make a difference. My brother found out too. Now, in the boxing world, remember, in the boxing world, you could cover up, and if a guy's full of energy, he could punch and punch and punch, and you wear him down, and about the time he drops his gloves, you can knock him out. But you are not going to knock the devil out. And we are not just supposed to take a beating from the devil. There are things we can do. But we don't fight using his artillery, we fight using God's. And what's that? That's things like forgiveness. That's things like protecting our marriages. That's things like guarding our temper and learning how to apologize. That's something like making sure our decisions are made according to the Bible. That's how we can bruise the serpent with our feet. We can fight back. Hey, to the congregation, you're not a punching bag. But the way you fight back is do the right things according to the Bible.